Around 1,000 years ago, on a Tuesday afternoon, a most incredible explosion lit up the sky. The odd thing is, no one recorded what happened, as far as we know. But here it comes again. Hello, Robin Williams with another Science Show on ABC Radio National. And if you behave, I'll give you a little stroke later on. And take you to the beginning of time, which turns out to be in London. Now for that enormous explosion. It isn't something you would overlook. So the mystery is, why was it missed? Professor Brian Gainsler from the University of Sydney has tracked it down. So Brian, what is it?
So this is an object whose name, very catchy, is G350.1-0.3, which essentially gives you its coordinates.
Like poetry, really.
It is. We're trying to come up with a catchy name for it. It looks a bit like a cannon, and one of the staff I have working on it is an Arsenal fan, so she insists that it's the cannon. So we know that big stars, much bigger than the sun, when they reach the end of their lives, they explode catastrophically in this huge detonation called the supernova. And for one moment, that star is giving off more light than the entire half a trillion stars in the galaxy combined. So this is a pretty catastrophic event. And we know from looking at other galaxies that this happens about once every 50 years. But most people listening will think, well, that's funny. I'm 50-something and I don't seem to remember a star exploding. If this does happen, and it happens near us, these explosions can be so bright that you can see them in broad daylight and you can read by them at night. So when they happen, you know about them. We know that this actually happens because we have fantastic records from the Chinese going back thousands of years reporting when such an event happened. And they didn't know they were exploding stars. They thought there was some sort of warning and normally 1,000 peasants would be executed or something. And we know that there hasn't been a supernova that we've seen in our galaxy since the year 1604. And Sod's law has it that the telescope was invented in 1608. So we haven't had a supernova since the invention of the telescope. Even the law of averages says we should have one every 50 years. So either our galaxy is very unlucky or very weird, or we're just not seeing them. We're not looking in the right place, or they're hidden. So there's a bit of a push to find all these supernova explosions that might have happened in the last few hundred years, but which somehow we miss because they were hidden by clouds of dust or something like that. And the presumption is it's not that we've somehow looked at ones that we thought were old and haven't realized they're actually quite young. More likely explanation is that we've completely missed the young ones. And so as a bit of a detective hunt, I guess that maybe these young ones, some of them were staring us in the face and we had somehow overlooked them, a bit like, you know, losing your keys and not realizing they're on the desk in front of you. So what we did is we basically looked through the galaxy for objects that were very bright, but which had been classed as oddballs or had been forgotten about or something like that. And we discovered this object, G350.1-0.3, that was discovered in the early 70s here in Australia and was immediately classed as the remnant of a supernova explosion. But back in the 1970s, they didn't have the quality of instruments that they could tell whether it was a young one or an old one. So it just sat there in the catalogue as one of many random remnants of supernova explosions. In the mid-80s, somebody decided to have a closer look at it. And when they made a pretty picture of it, they saw this very strange appearance. It was very distorted and elongated. It didn't look like an expanding bubble. And they said, we have no idea what this is, but it sure ain't a supernova remnant. And then the group that keeps the official catalogue of supernova remnants saw this claim and said, well, okay, we'll take it out of our catalogue. And then everyone else who came along later who never saw that original paper never even knew that this object existed. So you drop something out of the catalogue and it just essentially disappears from view. And so we found this weird bright object and we looked up in the catalogue and it said it wasn't a supernova remnant. And I said, well, let's just check some older catalogues. And I went back to catalogues in the 80s and it said it was a supernova remnant. And I said, hang on, and eventually figured out what had happened. And so we said, well, let's have a closer look at it. And when we looked at it with a new European X-ray satellite called XMM, we discovered that it is a supernova remnant. And not only that, it's one of the youngest supernova remnants in our galaxy.
It's only about 1,000 years old, isn't it?
Only about 1,000 years old. So it would have actually happened during the Middle Ages. And if you'd been looking in the right spot, you might have seen something. So right under our noses, this is one of those 20 or so supernova explosions that have happened in the last 1,000 years that we completely missed. This is one of the brightest, most energetic supernova explosions in the entire galaxy. The X-rays are filled with the radioactive decay of all the new, fresh elements that were made in the explosion. We actually know for a fact that all the elements in the universe heavier than iron were made in supernova explosions. It's the only place hot enough and extreme enough to make them. So many of the heavier elements in our bodies were actually made in supernova explosions. And here we are, we're actually seeing the radioactive decay of those elements that are fresh out of the oven. They're only made 1,000 years ago, unlike hydrogen and helium, which have been around for billions of years. These are brand new elements now cooling, and we can directly see that in this spectacular young object.
It's a wonderful way to put it, fresh out of the oven. But was there any record in the Middle Ages of some sort of explosion in the sky in one of the documents? Who knows?
Well, I think the fairest thing to say is we don't know. It's a very difficult process because you have to understand the subtleties of ancient Chinese. And, for example, Chinese will simply say there was something in the sky that wasn't there the night before. Was it a comet or a supernova or an asteroid? It gets very tricky. As far as we know, there were no records that I'm aware of around that time. A number of explanations for that might be that this object is relatively far south, so it might have been quite low in the sky for the Chinese. Perhaps it was nice high in the sky in Australia, but the people in Australia didn't have any written records. Another possibility is that it happened in the wrong time of year. If it happened at a certain season during daytime, and it would have been much harder to see, and by the time that part of the sky swung around to night, it might have faded away. And I think the other explanation is that this object is quite a long way away. It's many tens of thousands of light years distant, and that suggests that there's probably a lot of dust and muck and dirt between us and the supernova, and that could do quite a good job of blocking out the light so that in visible light you couldn't see it. X-rays, as we know, can penetrate stuff, and so in X-rays you can see the object, but in visible light you couldn't.
Now, I've got the strangest kind of picture, and this may be terribly simplistic, of the way a star like the Sun can gradually burn itself out and kind of collapse in on itself, become terribly dense, and there's a limit to the amount of density you can endure, and then it explodes. Is it something like that, the way a supernova happens?
That does happen, but it happens after the supernova explosion. The first thing to say is that the Sun is too small to make a supernova. You need a star that weighs about 8 times the mass of the Sun. The interior of the star is so hot and so dense that the hydrogen actually fuses to form helium, the same fusion reaction that happens in a hydrogen bomb. And then most of the star's life is spent converting hydrogen to helium. That's what the Sun is doing right now. But if the pressures are high enough, then once all the hydrogen is used up and has become helium, the star will start collapsing again and then turning hydrogen into carbon. And then that carbon can then be turned into oxygen. And you have this whole stepladder process where each element gets turned into heavier and heavier elements. And that ends when the entire core of the star has fused into iron. And it doesn't matter how hard you squeeze iron, it's the most stable element that exists and it will not fuse into anything heavier. So you have this iron core that starts off as a tiny little nugget at the center of the star and then just grows gradually as all the other elements fuse into iron. And when you hit this magic number of about 1.4 times the mass of the Sun, you have a ball of iron that's so heavy that the individual atoms can no longer support the weight of its gravity. And catastrophically, that ball of iron suddenly collapses to something that's only about 25 kilometers across, made completely of neutrons. So all of a sudden, you have this huge, massive star millions of kilometers across that was being held up by this iron at the center, and now that iron ball has essentially shrunk to something 100 times smaller. So you've got this big hole in the middle, and the outer layers of the star fall down, smash into this rock-hard neutron star, rebound, and that's what blows the star up.
Down to something the size of Wollongong.
Pretty much, yeah. You've got something that weighs 1.4 times the mass of the Sun, that's many trillions, trillions, trillions of kilograms, but compressed into the size of a small city. So you have a neutron star, which is regarded as the densest substance in the universe. A teaspoon of a neutron star would weigh about the same as 10,000 Sydney Harbour Bridges. So most of matter is actually empty. Matter is that you and I are made of is a small nucleus of protons and neutrons, and then a vast amount of empty space, and these electrons around the outside. And a neutron star is basically the same stuff, but you've gotten rid of all that empty space around each nucleus and packed the atomic nuclei together. And so if you do that, you get a very different type of matter that has no empty space and is much, much smaller and denser.
Well, now you've got this young beast only 1,000 years old. Are you able to watch it change, or does even something like that so young move slowly?
We can watch it change. The discovery observation that we made was with this European satellite XMM, which doesn't have particularly sharp vision, but which is useful because it's good at seeing very faint objects. And so the next step is to observe it with an American X-ray satellite called Chandra. And Chandra isn't as sensitive as XMM, but it has incredibly sharp vision, the sharpest vision that's ever been available in X-rays. And so in the next few months, later this year or early next year, we're observing the source for an entire day with Chandra, and that will give a spectacularly sharp view of the remnant, showing all the fine filaments and wisps, and that will be the first observation that we can then use maybe 3 or 4 years from now to come back and watch it expand. So certainly, yes, we do expect to be able to watch this object expand slowly over a period of a few years, and that will give us a more exact age for it.
And the Chandra Observatory at Harvard is run by an Australian, Roger Brissenden. I was with Brian Gainsler, Federation Fellow from the University of Sydney, who joins me on In Conversation this Thursday next ABC Radio National at 7:30 p.m.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.